this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a happy Monday to you. Excuse my voice. I'm coming off of a big ministry weekend. I got to speak at Willow Creek, one of their campus retreats, and I want to give a shout out to our friends listening in from Chicago. We love that you're listening, and I just had the best time in the world with you. So good to meet you. Well, you are in for a treat. I have a question for you. Do you ever want to start over in a certain area of your life? Even as a believer, if you've walked along with Christ, do you realize how easy it is to get on the rumble strips or even land in the ditch or even just get off track and think, how did I get here? Well, we're going to talk about what it means to hit the reset button. Reset button for maybe someone who's walked on their own and not even been introduced to Jesus, and you can reset your whole life, and you're going to learn about how to do that today. But maybe you've been following Jesus a long time. Have you ever thought about this? But we tend to be grace forgetters and Sabbath neglectors, and we just forget the things that God invites us to live out of the fullness of His love, and really to live in response to His love. So we've got a spiritual reset for you. And a number of you know this. We did a show on being on a spiritual reset about a year ago, and it was such a hit, we re-aired it again a few months ago and had an overwhelming response. Well, this time, today, we've got Nick Hall in studio, who's been doing the same thing all over the country, hitting the reset button, and he's saying that Jesus is the reset button. So I've got him in studio. We've got a powerful conversation up ahead. In the second hour, we welcome Ron Deal back to the show to talk about step families and how to navigate those waters, and what are some common pitfalls that step families endure and encounter, and how can you navigate those relationships in the best possible way. That's second hour on Live the Promise. So let me not waste another minute. Let me tell you about my first hour guest, and we'll get him on the show. And again, my apologies for my voice, but here we go. Nick Hall is the visionary behind Reset, a prayer to reset your life, and a movement of people sharing the hope of Jesus. He's the founder and chief communicator for Pulse. His passion is to awaken culture to the reality of Jesus. He serves on the student advisory team for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and was one of four partner evangelists with Luis Palau, Luis Palau Association. And we've had Andrew Palau on plenty of times. We love that organization. Nick and his wife Tiffany live in Minneapolis with their son Truett, and we're honored to have him back in studio today. Nick, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much, Susie. I'm so glad to be here. I was just excited to come join you today.
We have lots to talk about, and you know this because you've been on the show before. We always love talking scripture because the Word of God is living and active, and this proves it every day when our guests come on and just say, this is a verse I've been pondering, and it brings it to life for our listeners. And you chose Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Talk about why you chose that passage.
You know, I just think there's such a need for joy all around. I think through my whole life experience, I've always chose friends, right? Or looked for friends who are just the fun people to be around. Just someone who had a light heart, somebody who could just bring a joy into the situation. I mean, this passage in Proverbs when Solomon's writing this, I mean, a cheerful heart, right, is good medicine. I mean, isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just when we have joy in our lives, or when we're around someone with joy, and how it's literally therapeutic. I mean, it is. It says it's good medicine. But the opposite of that, right, a crushed spirit dries up the bones. I mean, I think there's such contrasting feelings there of, on the one side, the hopeful living and the joy that we can have because of Jesus. And then the other side of just that, man, this is a bone dry, just depressing, anxiety filled. And I'm just been pondering in my heart, God, do I have joy? Do I have the happiness really that you came for me to live with?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that really Jesus is real to me. And so I have a reason to smile.
Yeah.
Right?
And to celebrate.
I have a reason. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
This is good news.
Indeed. You know, we had Ren Collective on, one of the members of Ren Collective, I want to say a month or so ago. And they have a video, a 7-minute video called The Art of Celebration. And it is fantastic. It made me laugh and giggle for like 15 minutes after. But one thing they said, we had a theological breakthrough that has changed our whole approach to music and worship and our faith journey. They realized that seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit, but joy is. And they said, truly, they said, Jesus is the father of the best party ever, and we have every reason to celebrate. And that happiness is more of a surface reaction to surface circumstances, but joy goes deeper. And Nick, I've been thinking a lot about that because these are serious days and many are lost and there's issues that are heart-wrenching. And something that I'm really feeling like is that there's a juxtaposition for the Christ follower of joy, of tasting and seeing that he's good, enjoying our food, loving the people God is giving us to love. I mean, truly seeing that in the simplicity and the beauty of the moment, and then taking our stand on the wall when God calls us to. And I think we ebb and flow in and out of those places, don't you? I mean, I was out on the battlefield this weekend, and I just was able to retreat home this weekend in my prayer time. And I just think we're all kind of coming in and going out, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, I really think that's what that's what life is all about when we're following Jesus. You know, in the ministry I lead, Pulse, really at the core of it, you know, is this whole even idea of a reset of how we always need to be coming back. We always need to be going out. Mm-hmm. And we always use the human heart as an illustration. And we'll say, you know, your heart, it pumps out blood back in all into your body, and it brings nutrients and life to every literally fingertip, every toe, every organ. But then once that's used up, it needs to pump it back in. And when it pumps it back in, it brings it through organs where it clarifies it, it cleanses it,
excellent,
brings it back into the lungs where it oxygenates it, and then it sends it back out again. Right. And so all of us in our day to day routine, we need a reset. Right. Mm. I need to be going out to be giving and living the mission that Jesus has for me. But I need to be coming back in,
excellent,
and realizing, man, I need community. I need the love of the Father. I need to have time in the Word and time on my knees and time in my prayer closet and to get armed up. And man, I want to go out and just lift up this life, this reset life, and that there is hope because of Jesus.
Hmm.
And we just want to lift that far and wide. We want everybody to know that there is a reset for you, and Jesus is the answer.
Indeed. And I can't wait to even unpack that more. And if you don't mind, Nick, I would love for you to go back a little bit. Here, you're alumni of University Northwestern St. Paul, which is, you know, makes them so glad to claim you. I mean, what you're doing and how God is using you around the world is beautiful. But you are a young guy. Talk about just how you became all in for Jesus and when you really started to recognize the call of God on your life.
Yeah, well, actually, it was while I was a student at Northwestern that I really surrendered to God's call for me. Again, I think all of us have these moments in our life where really we're faced with just the realities of stress and anxiety and struggle and hardship and whatever it is. It doesn't matter if we're a teenager or if we're 75 years old. I think all of us have these moments, and we can have them many times throughout our life, mm-hmm, right? Maybe you're there again. Maybe you're like, man, how can I be back at this place of struggle? But for me, again, it all began. I was a freshman in college. I was wrestling with purpose. I was wrestling with my identity. I was wrestling with hopelessness. A lot of the things that young people today, they're wrestling with all over, right? It's interesting that they say that this is the information age. And yet, in many ways, this is the least informed generation in the history of our country when it comes to spirituality and Jesus and God's word. Even as you said, scripture is so important. You know, but for me, I came to this place where really it was a reset for me in my life, where I felt like God was calling me. I felt like I needed to come to him. And ultimately, it was about just surrendering to Jesus and saying, God, I want to know you, and I want to be reset by you. I want to follow you. And with that came just this overwhelming sense of this call of God on my life, that I am on earth for one reason, and it is to tell the world about Jesus. Mm. And so I was 18 years old, and I'm 32 now, and so it's
amazing.
Been 14 years
amazing.
Of just, you know, running and traveling and all over the world and large arenas and small crowds and even places where I'm speaking. I don't think anybody's even there, you know, but it's just so fun, really. When you know that you are doing what God has you on earth to do. And again, for me, that's all about just lifting up Jesus and ultimately offering this reset, which is for everyone.
Mm. What were some of your first steps once you got a sense of the call in college? Because I'm sure people look at you now and thought, you woke up, you had a purpose, and now you're on a national stage. But I know you paid a price to walk this walk. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, I posted on my social media this weekend and just kind of talking about this whole idea of how God doesn't call the equipped, right? A lot of times people see these things and they're like, oh man, does God only call these super amazing people? And it's like, no, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And in fact, you know, the story of Scripture is so many unlikely vessels. In fact, last week, I did a study just going through Scripture of just some of the people that God used who, like, man, these people were horrible. And yet these are the people who experienced the reset, and all of a sudden, like, God used them to do extraordinary things. You know, for me, when God put his call on my life, I mean, really, it was just one day at a time. It was one step at a time. It was opportunity by opportunity, just saying, okay, God, I just want to walk through these doors. And it started out with youth group events and getting asked to travel with ministries. And a lot of it was really humble work. I mean, you're talking carrying luggage for people or placing flags out on a wet football field or, I mean, just anything. But for me, I was hungry.
Wow.
And I knew that God had called me, and I just wanted to be around it.
Mm.
And so for me, it was, man, I want to tell people about Jesus. Who else is out there telling people about Jesus? And how can I get around them and just learn everything? And so I would travel far and wide, and really, I mean, if I had a job, I was taking all that money from my job and spending it on going wherever, you know, so I could learn. And I'm like, hey, I can't afford a hotel room. Can I sleep on your floor? Hey, can I sleep here? You know, whatever. I mean, it was really a lot of very long hours in the car, a lot of very, man, just heartaching. Okay, God, like, what are you doing in my life? But at the end of the day, I mean, it's like just step by step with God. I love to remind people and encourage people, you know, when God's offering a reset in your life, it's not your job to figure everything out, right? You don't need to figure it out. I think in our minds, we always think, hey, what's my plan and what's the strategy? And if I do this, then what, you know, and we want to have our to-do list bulleted out. And I'm like, man, for all the good things that have happened in my life, really the only thing I did was surrender and respond to Jesus' invitation.
Yeah.
And then he did it.
That's right.
Like, when I look back at the amazing things that happened, I'm not like, because I had this great 10-step plan.
Exactly.
You know, it's
literally
grace.
And people want
that
from you, don't they? I mean, I get that too. They want a 10-step plan. And I'm like, one, be much with God. Two, do the next thing he tells you to do. And that really is what it boils down to. And to be humble and teachable. Give him access to your story, because I really am convinced, Nick, that he makes us wait because he's making us ready. So he gives you a vision. And like everybody else, he takes you through the valley of preparation. And you are humble enough to put the flags in the ground, to carry luggage, to ride in the car, to sleep on the floor, because you had a call of God on your life. And I don't know about you, but in this celebrity-driven culture, we tend to meet people that go, no, I want the stage. I want the prize without the process. But even anybody who's not called maybe to an upfront ministry, even hitting a reset, it is a grace. But in this world, we have trouble. And those places, though, are training times for us. He doesn't allow anything in our life unless it's preparing us for a next place. So maybe speak to that person who's like, I did hit a reset. I really felt like I'd heard from God. I'd gotten this call, and I've hit one roadblock after another. But really what's happening is they're in training for the next thing God has.
Amen. You know, this weekend at church, the pastor that I was at, he said this. He said, your delay is God's display. And he was just using this as an example of oftentimes what we think is as this wait and what's going on. Am I failed? Am I giving up? And he's just saying, man, this is God preparing to do something.
I love that.
And how many people throughout Scripture, right, if they would have given up, would the results have happened? Or even they tried to give up, right? And God still worked inside. I mean, think of Jonah, right? He runs from God's call, and yet God still used him. In fact, this is just this list. And I think this is encouraging. So I'll just share.
Yeah.
You know, these are just some people that God used in spite of them, right? Because I get it, right? Sometimes God speaks to me, and I experience this reset, and I'm on this fresh start, and then it goes for a weekend, and maybe I'm at the retreat with Susie Larson, and she's amazing, but then now it's Monday, and the kids are screaming in the back seat.
Yeah.
You
what
know?
Happened?
Exactly. You know, what happened? Is there something wrong with me? And yet, it's this day-to-day journey with Jesus. You know, but this is just this list from Scripture. Okay, so Moses, right? God used Moses, but he wasn't a great speaker. In fact, he wanted to quit. He didn't want to speak. He said all these things. Jonah ran from God. Jacob was a liar. Noah got drunk. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair. Jeremiah was depressed a lot. John the Baptist, well, he ate bugs. I don't know what you had for lunch, but probably not bugs. Peter lacked self-control. James and John were prideful. Thomas was a doubter. I wrote this one down. Isaiah, he preached naked. I just think that's just a little weird. Some people don't know that. Maybe you need to read your Bible more. Sarah was barren. Timothy was too young. Abraham was too old. And Lazarus, well, he was dead.
Yeah, that's a problem.
You know, if God can use a dead guy.
That's right.
Right? He can use me, and his reset is for me. And even Abraham, I love to go through that story where Abraham was 75 years old when God spoke to him and said, you need to leave everything. I mean, 75. I mean, our day and age, people think, oh, man, you're past 50. It's over. Just kind of coast. You know, I had a buddy call me recently and said, Nick, I just have this dream and I have this passion and I just don't know what I should do. You know, I'm 56 years old and I don't know if I can still. I'm like, man, pick up your Bible and read about Abraham. He was 75.
That's
like,
right.
Literally, there's no account of what Abraham had done before 75. At 75, he picks up and leaves everything. You know, if I got that call from my great uncle or my grandpa and grandma today, I'd be like, okay, Alzheimer's has set in. We maybe need to call the nursing home. They're leaving everything. But like in the Bible, like this is okay. Wow, we need to be attentive to this because God might be moving, and this is something incredible, right? There's no time bound, you know, set where it's like, okay, I'm not a teenager anymore. Oh, I'm not in college anymore. Oh, that was when I had my first career. Oh, before I had kids, then God could use me. No, this reset is for each and every one of us, no matter where we are in life. God is offering hope. He's offering joy. He's offering a fresh start. And ultimately, again, I just keep going back because I believe it. I believe Jesus is the reset. And I think there's a supernatural reset for each and every person who calls upon his name.
Indeed. And I'm thinking of that person listening today who may be in their 70s. And as you're listening to Nick talk, maybe your heart's starting to beat a little faster going, you know what? I've been thinking it's about ability. I've been thinking it's about agility. But it really is about availability. It's about where you're planted, you know, like a stream, a tree planted by streams of living water. You're bearing fruit even in old age. I mean, it really is about bearing fruit, and that comes from the vine, not from your age and your ability, right?
That's right. It's just about being available. I mean, it's that whole Samuel, here am I, send me, you know, Lord, speak, your servant is listening. I just think of how many scriptures in the Old Testament, right? It's like the eyes of the Lord look throughout the earth to see if there's any who fear, any who understand. Right. I mean, God and Isaiah, whom shall I send and who will go for me? I mean, I always pray that I would be one of those just saying, God, I just want to be available.
Indeed. I don't know if you ever read the account of A.W. Tozer feeling curious about why certain people rise above the fray to do great things for God and why others don't. And he said, you know, the Bible does say that God is no respecter of persons, so why do certain people rise up? And he said he did a kind of a study of even biblical history, but even people in his history looking back. And he said they couldn't have been more different. One was black, one was white, one was rich, one was poor, one was educated, one was not. But the common denominator, Nick, that he found was what he called spiritual receptivity. He said these people cultivated a lifestyle of listening to God, and when he spoke, they did something about it. And don't you think that is really, there aren't the haves and the have-nots and the spiritually elite. It's he's looking for faith. Will he find it in you?
Yeah, it's really just a response. I mean, all God asks of us, I really believe, is a response. I mean, he makes himself available to each and every one of us. Somebody told me once, like, Nick, nobody's ever had a bigger Bible than you. No one's ever had more opportunity than you. You have the Holy Spirit
Indeed.
Of God, and God can do anything through anyone. As you said, he's no respecter of persons, and that's why I just love this whole idea. Man, I my phone, my computer, the electrical outlet on my wall, everything around me has a reset, right? And I love this. Growing up, I love the reset button. I love the idea that when something's broken, there's just this button you can hit, and it gets it working again. I mean, it's just magical.
It is amazing.
And you're just like, man, if only life were that simple. Yeah. And I have these conversations with people all the time. Do you ever wish you could just hit a reset button? Absolutely. Man, if I could have a second chance. I mean, even I think about New Year's Eve. Think about people lining up at New Year's Eve and thinking, okay, now when the clock hits midnight, I get a new beginning, right? My resolutions. And it's every year we all get this chance to kind of have a fresh start. I really think we're hardwired this way.
Yeah.
And I think it's for a spiritual reason that we are created for a new beginning. We are created for a reset. And ultimately, Jesus is that ultimate reset. When you think about the reset on a phone or in technology, the definition is reset means to get the system working toward its created purpose. Okay, so your phone or computer was created to work a certain way. When you hit the reset, it clears past errors and it gets it working again.
Wow, very good.
In the same way, God, he created us to work a certain way. And ultimately, that's why he offered Jesus, was because you and I had corrupted the system. We had made choices. If you want to say electronic, we had downloaded the wrong files. And each and every one of us, no matter if we've known God our whole lives or no matter if this is the first time we've ever heard about him, Jesus is offering a reset for us. We can say, Jesus, will you reset my family? Jesus, will you reset my life? Jesus, will you reset my happiness? Right? Jesus, will you reset my purpose? Jesus, will you reset my addiction? Like, no matter what it is, Jesus wants to meet us right where we are. He wants to minister to our hearts, and he wants to give us power. I believe it's a supernatural power of God that we have available every minute of every day.
Isn't,
and that's why
that
it's incredible.
It's incredible. So you've been doing this Pulse. You're founder of Pulse, right?
That's correct.
Okay. I'm going to have you just explain what that is. But my next question after that will be, you know, you've been traveling around the country, maybe even around the world as an evangelist. When and how did this reset idea come to you? But first, if you wouldn't mind, explain what Pulse is and does.
Yeah, so Pulse is a student-launched initiative. I wrote a paper when I was a college kid called Pulse. I actually started at Northwestern, and then I ended up finishing out at a state school back in North Dakota. And this paper was a response to seeing just all kinds of brokenness on campus, you know, substance abuse and self-harm and suicide. And I wrote this paper called Pulse. It went viral, and the paper was all about what would happen if we came together around the life-giving message of Jesus. And what would it look like if we just lifted him up on campus and just blitzed the campus? We said, we want to have the biggest party of the year, be all about Jesus. And it just, honestly, it just took on a life of its own. We had 8,000 students come out, and it spread across North Dakota and then across the country. And so now Pulse is just this evangelistic movement. We do events all over the world, part of about 200 events a year. Last year we had about 1 million students come out at these events, and over 140,000 young people last year that made a response to Jesus at these events. You know, they're making, maybe they're coming to faith for the first time, maybe they're recommitting, but it's just God is moving in a generation. And, you know, and so we believe that God has started something, that it's all about him, and it's not about Pulse, right? This isn't about even a name of an organization, right? This is about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And really, that's the heart. You asked the second question about reset. Where did it come from? During the process of doing these events, we kind of were having a discussion among students one day and saying, gosh, to people who don't understand God or don't understand the church or don't understand all these churchy words, how do we describe what it is that God's offering? And we're thinking about all these things, you know, all these terms that we've used that have so much baggage to them. I mean, they all have so many meanings. I mean, people are like, oh, is that what you mean? Oh, like those people? Oh, like him? Oh, man, I don't want anything to do with that. And somebody said, you know, what we're praying for is a reset. And so literally this kind of took on a life of its own very early in the life of Pulse, where when we were giving people an opportunity to respond, we would describe it as a reset. We would say, you know what, you came here tonight, maybe you have questions. Tonight what we're giving, what we believe God is giving, is he's offering a reset. And we believe that Jesus is that reset, and that anybody can come and cry out to him, and he offers a fresh start. And so that no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, and we actually took this further. We had reset groups. We had reset churches. And this was all just about this new beginning, right, that we have in Christ. Well, as we continued to go on, students started coming through the woodwork that were taking this very literally. Like, I need a reset from this specific issue. And so kids are handing us razor blades and bullets and wow, all kinds of just things that you would be like, how did you get in here with that, number one, right? And what in the world are you doing carrying that in your pocket? I mean, you're talking drugs. You're talking, I mean, anything you can imagine these kids are bringing, handing it to us. So then we started to have like a literal place. We'd have a reset bin. We have these trash cans. We just said the reset bins are throughout the venue.
Whoa.
And if you're here and you need to have God set you free of something tonight, we want to have just this tangible place you can go and just pray, and you can write down on a card and say, Jesus, reset me of this. Or if you have something, maybe it's a photo, maybe it's a note, maybe it's just some destructive thing that you're hanging on to that you don't know why. We're saying God is offering a reset tonight. And so kids are just coming. These bins just get filled up with all kinds of just, again, just awful stuff. Mm. But it's just we again, just believe that Jesus is offering a reset, and that this is a longing of the heart, not just of young people, but of people from all walks of life. I mean, people are writing in there, you know, again, reset my marriage, you know, reset my addiction to pornography, you know, reset my self-harm, my self-image. And so many, you know, somebody was telling me that this week, Friday, I think is the National Happiness Day or something. and so many people, it's just interesting. And that's this proverb I picked. So many people, when they're asking for reset, so much of it has to do with purpose and contentment, reset my, you know, again, my happiness, reset my attitude. I mean, I think just so many people are so aware that, man, my attitude is just so bad and I always see the negative. And yet it's like, I think when we look to Jesus, we realize that he has more for us.
Yeah.
And he offers life.
He offers life. He can reset your perspective today. I wonder, how do you need a reset today? We would love to stand with you. If you want to call in, you can even call anonymously. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Talking to Evangelist Nick Hall. We welcome your questions. You can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Give me a shot.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Evangelist Nick Hall. I've got him in studio. We're talking about the reset prayer, and this is for believers and unbelievers alike, and the answer is the same. It's Jesus. Maybe you're in a time in your life that you need to hit the reset button. Maybe it's in your finances, even in your just devotional life, or your perspective on your disappointments, or maybe you've never personally met Jesus. Today is your day. I believe you've tuned in for a reason. We welcome your questions and calls. We'd love to stand with you. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Angela's calling in from Mileto, Minnesota, I believe. Angela, is that right? Did I say your city right?
Yes.
Welcome. Glad to have you today.
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. What's your question today?
My question is, I've been praying for a long time for a husband and a father for my family, for me and my son. And those prayers seem to go unanswered, but it's become a focal point in my prayer and my personal life. And I just need to know, how do I reset that? How do I gain a different perspective?
Wow, that's a fantastic question. Nick, what do you say?
Yeah, well, Angela, is that Angela? I just appreciate you being so real and calling in and sharing. Man, we're just here standing with you. I know a lot of friends who are right there with you. I mean, struggling, you know, praying for God to send that someone. I think for all of us, it's easy in any situation we have in life, when we have a need, right? When there's something that's a longing unfulfilled, it's easy for us to let that become just kind of a wall. It's a barrier. Like, I can't even think beyond this. And it's almost like if God's not answering this thing, then he must not be speaking, or he must not be for me, or, you know, all these kind of things start to come in. And ultimately, when I think of the reset that Jesus offers and how he offers it to you, Angela, and to your family, to your son, as you said, it's really like when we come to Jesus and he invites us to come, he says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, right? And I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And ultimately, it's a daily occurrence of coming and saying, Jesus, you know my heart. Jesus, you know my needs. Jesus, will you reset my thinking to realize that you are the good shepherd, that you have what's best for me, that you are the heavenly Father, right? That I am the bride of Christ. I think even there's so much power in that. And ultimately, we just know in God's word that when we delight ourselves in him, he gives us the desires of our heart. And ultimately, like, he'll just continue to transform your mind and your heart and just perspectives, that it's no longer just about this thing that's in the way, but ultimately, like, your affections are just focused on Jesus. And ultimately, that Jesus would be the one that would be real in your life and for your son and just in your family. And you know what? Whatever he gives, we know that he gives good gifts to his children. And so I just encourage you just to keep leaning into his promises and just remember every day that God is for you. And ultimately, that's what this reset prayer is about, is just coming to Jesus and realizing that, you know what? Jesus offers life. Jesus offers me hope. Jesus offers me perspective. When everything else is depressing, when everything else is discouraging, when everything in my flesh wants to say, this is awful, Jesus has a different perspective to take on. And that's all of us. It's individual. It's deeply personal. It's deeply intimate. And I really believe that as you turn to him, he's going to give you just what you need, just when you need it. And sometimes you're going to be like, I don't even know how I made it through that. But man, the only explanation is God carried me. Jesus is real.
Angela, thanks for that call. And there's just a couple of things that I was thinking as Nick was talking that I would love to add, if that's all right, is something I learned as I walked through some of my own disappointments and longings of my heart is this, that any gift from his hand, as wonderful as it is, it still pales in comparison to knowing his heart. Do you know what I mean? Well, when we get our breakthroughs, we realize, as wonderful as they are, they're still imperfect as at best, because they're not the source that Jesus is. And what I've just really learned is that as much as I long for these things, Jesus is really the ultimate longing. He's not the consolation prize. He's actually the ultimate prize that we want. And when Nick was talking about that Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, I did a word study on that, and delight means a number of things, but here's three that stand out to me. One was pamper yourself in the Lord. So how do you delight in the Lord? You just have time with him like you would on a date night with your husband when God gives you that man. You know what I mean? Where you pamper yourself in the Lord. Another one was remember and dream, where you remember that you have a history with him. Remember the ways he's come through for you, which implies you also have a future with him. So dream with him, right? Another one was interesting, was make sport of, which means acknowledge him in every fun thing you get to do. These are ways you delight in God. So you're not compartmentalizing your faith. You're engaging your faith in all these areas of life, where he's not just a means to an end to the answers to your prayer. He's someone you enjoy, someone you engage life with, someone that you dream with and you remember with. And as you delight in him and you entrust your desires to him, in due time, as he becomes your deepest source, he starts to just unfold your desires in your life. But suddenly they have a proper place. And I don't know if that helps you, but we can get so fixated on our unfulfilled desires that we feel like those are the things that are the main thing, right, Nick? Where truly he's the main thing. And I know that's hard when you're sitting here with empty hands, but it is something we have to wrestle through, I think.
I think all of us, no matter what we're going through, we can always look and see things that, man, this is just so hard.
Yeah.
And such an opposition, and how am I ever going to get through this? One of the things that I've started to do this year is, even in my devotional life and my prayer life, when I have my list of prayers, and Angela, this goes for you and this goes for anybody that has a prayer need, I'll write down on one side kind of, these are the things I'm praying for. And then I'll take that piece of paper and I'll flip it on the other side and I'll write down all the things that God has given me and
wow,
all the prayers that God has answered. And for me, it just puts things in such perspective.
That's excellent.
Right? Because I realize that my list is actually quite small. And then the amount of answers that God given me are so incredible. And it just reminds me again that this is God that I'm talking
Amen.
To. And I love in Psalm 77, verse 10, David comes and he says, you know, to this will I appeal, the years of the Lord's faithfulness. You know, and he kind of, even David, sometimes we need to preach to ourselves. You know, we're talking about this reset of perspective. I mean, again, it's, I need to go to Jesus and I need to go to him. And that's why we think this is a movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have this website, resetmovement.com. Where literally there's people from all walks of life that are bringing their prayer. And Angela or anybody else, people are on there putting in their prayer. Jesus, will you reset my blank, filling it in and sharing it. And not only is this a chance for you to bring it to Jesus, but it's a part of being part of a community who's turning to him. Now, I go on the site all the time and I just pray for the prayers that are on there.
Awesome.
Right?
Give me
it lets
the website
me know
again.
I'm not alone. It's resetmovement.com.
Okay.
And so there's already been 12,000 people that have hopped on here and shared their prayers. And it's every day. People are just going on. They're sharing simple things, sharing profound things. It is all real. It is all just, man, I'm coming to Jesus because he is the source, because he offers me help and hope. And man, there's just, there's always life. There's always joy. There's always perspective when we come to him. The world wants to say, there's no way. But ultimately, we come to him. We know, man, there's always a way.
There's
nothing
always a
way. Is impossible.
Absolutely. And he does delight in every detail of our lives. And he does care about these reset needs. And Angela, he cares about yours. And I hope you hear that from me. I'm just saying, I hope that came clear for you, that when we walk through time where we go too long with an unfulfilled longing, it kind of goes back to the proverb you shared, where it almost crushes us. if we focus on it more than we do on his faithfulness and history, because this is a season and it's a chapter, but he is a God of breakthrough. Nick, you want to talk about something coming up in D.C., is that right? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, as people are hearing about this idea of reset and this prayer, and I think so many people, even Susie, as you've shared, having a series that you had before, right, where you're on the air talking about this, I've met tons of pastors that are out there, and we have a series, a sermon series coming up called Reset, or a prayer thing called Reset. I really believe this is a message that's spreading today. Mm-hmm. And this isn't a message from Nick, and this isn't a message from an organization. We believe that God is doing something today, and people are coming together, right? And so this prayer is for anyone. It's for everyone. It's to be shared. It's to be spread. And we're rallying people to come together, right? So these people who are praying for this reset, we're inviting people to join in this movement of those who are asking for a reset and those who have been reset. Hmm. And we're calling people to come together on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. And so what we're praying for, if people can imagine this with me, 2016, I know there's going to be a lot of things going on in America in 2016, but our prayer and our hope is that 2016 will go down in history as the year when there was the largest Jesus gathering in America's history that happened on the National Mall. And if you can imagine every corner of the National Mall, all the history that's taken place there, all the gatherings that have happened there from Martin Luther King to so many political speeches, but just people coming together with no agenda other than Jesus, just saying, Jesus, we need you. In our personal lives, we need you. Jesus, we need you. In our families, Jesus, we're coming together. I just get goosebumps mm-hmm. thinking about people gathered in one place and then people streaming in online from around the world and all at one moment just saying, Jesus, will you reset my life? People say, well, Nick, what do you expect to happen from that? And I'm like, what does Jesus do when we cry
exactly.
out to him? Like,
yeah.
it's only good things.
Yeah,
you know? Like,
exactly.
I don't even have to be able to map it out. That's not
right.
what this is about.
Right.
Right. This is about the fact that God, who knows everything, who knows what's best for me, right? There's something about when I go to him, that there's life, that there's joy, that there's purpose. Man, I believe that as we come, he's going to put new calls on people's lives.
Yeah.
I believe he's going to bring healing to families and churches and marriages, that he's maybe going to bring people together that haven't been together for a long time. But, you know, it begins with Jesus. We come to him. He is our source. He's our hope. He's our anthem. Jesus is the reset. So again, join us July of 2016. People can find out more, resetmovement.com. Share your prayer. And join us on the mall.
I love it. You know, we can have reset moments even in our devotional time. I was on the road, as I said, this weekend and didn't sleep the night before the event and poured out a lot. And so the next morning, yesterday morning, woke up, felt like I'd been hit by a truck. I was just exhausted. And when you're, that's when that enemy comes in going, really, you sure you're not getting too old for this? And I struggle with some health things and I just despair over it that it costs me so much every time. And not that I'm not willing to pay it, but I'm like, Lord, this constantly seems to happen where I get hit in the health area when I'm out doing the ministry thing. And I just was feeling kind of defeated because I've got another friend who's an extrovert and she bounces away from those events like she's got new life because she's an extrovert for one thing, you know. And I just grabbed my Bible, opened it. It just fell open. And I don't recommend this always, but this happened to be. I was so bone tired. I opened up to Isaiah 61 where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me and anointed me to preach good news to the poor and liberty to the captives. And once again, Nick, my heart just broke for the countless people who are in captivity, whose hearts are broken. And we each have a different call in our lives, but it was a reset moment for me. It's like, this is such a small price to pay compared to what my brothers and sisters pay in third world countries, right? Who are risking their lives for the gospel. But it was just a moment of absolute fatigue for me, but just a moment in the word was, it put me right again. And I want you to talk about maybe what are some barriers to these resets, because I think we do lose perspective when we're tired, when we're disappointed or disillusioned. And what would be some barriers to standing in the way of these moments of getting put right again, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think you referenced one, Susie, just in sharing. I mean, our instinct is to turn to a million other things, right? So you're talking about being bone tired and being kind of discouraged. And one of the things you referenced is I started to think about my friend and she just recovers right away and all these things. And so I think for so many of us, our instinct is, okay, I'm tired. I'm kind of checking out. Oh, let's see what's going on Facebook or let's pull up my Twitter or whatever it is. And all of a sudden now I'm looking at other people's pictures and comparing my life to their life. And now I'm just really getting depressed because wow, they look so happy, and oh, they're on vacation, and here I am mm-hmm. in the blizzard, and you know, or
yes,
whatever it is.
Exactly.
And ultimately, right, we just go to this place where we're like in this comparison mode, or even turning to every other source, every other solution, and yet the answer is always right there. Mm. I mean, ultimately, it's Jesus is inviting me to get away with him. I think about Jesus with his disciples. I mean, how often when the crowds were pulling and all the noise was there, Jesus would say, well, let's get away from here. Let's go find a quiet place. And I always think, man, Jesus did this for himself. I mean, this is the Son of God. Like, he has been coexistent for all eternity with the Father. He has 33 short years on earth, 3 years of public ministry. And yet in those 3 years, he still needs to have quiet times away. I'm like, okay, if Jesus needed that, note
so
to self.
Amen. You know what I mean? Yes, yes.
There's something mm-hmm. to this. And so that whole getting away and that focus of, again, coming back to where our power comes from. I really believe this, that we are so quick to think there has to be some solution. There has to be some answer, right? And so we turn to people, we turn to programs, we turn to some new series or some new CD or some new conference. And ultimately for all of us, like, man, we have just had so much information overload, and yet the answer is still the same. I mean, the answer is Jesus. The answer is, come to me, you who are weary. It's, man, turn to me. Seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. There is an invitation from heaven for you.
For you.
You're sitting there driving your minivan. You're sitting there driving your car. You're sitting there in your office streaming this in. You're down in Florida. You're in Wisconsin. I don't know where you are, but this invitation is for you. That God wants to meet with you. The God of the universe is offering a reset to me.
Isn't that amazing? You know, I watched one of your preaching videos on your website, and you were talking about the woman who was caught in adultery. And I'm thinking one of the barriers to reset might be that person thinking, I've gone too far, and Jesus really, that invitation doesn't extend to me. And I love how you said that when Jesus drew in the line, a line in the sand, so to speak, he basically stood with her and said, I'm with her. I want you to unpack that context a little bit for that person listening today who's thinking, this is for everybody but me. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously one of the biggest lies that, you know, when we move from the lie of comparison, right, of looking at everybody else, to then the lie of kind of, you know, self-defeat or just condemnation, right, of, man, I've been to all these things. I've seen. You don't know what I've seen or what I've done. And even this whole idea of, like, a very common one is, I need to fix myself before I can come to God, right? And this is a whole other idea of, like, no, you don't need to fix yourself to come to God. You come to God so he can fix you.
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I come to Jesus because he's the healer, right? I mean, even you look at his ministry, like, he spent time with broken people. And even Jesus said, it's not the healthy that need a doctor. It's the sick. So people said, how can you hang out with all these tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners? And she's just like, well, duh, like, I am the Son of God, and I'm here to heal. I'm here to bring hope. I'm here to bring life. And when we're willing to admit our need, that is when we're at the perfect place for God to move. Mm. To the prideful person who says, I have it all together, I don't have any needs. And God can't really get through to that person. But man, when we're willing to say, I'm messed up, like, we don't really realize, we don't think of it this way, but you are actually in the perfect place for God to move. And as you said, in the story of the woman caught in adultery, I mean, we have this story where Jesus is there. All these religious people are pointing a finger at this lady who's just been caught doing something, right, that you don't want people to catch you doing. And so we have this moment of shame and religion pointing a finger at a person.
Exposure.
And totally. Ah. And maybe that's where somebody's there today listening, thinking, you know, I've been judged. I've been ridiculed. I've had people who call themselves Christian or church people or whatever, and they've hated me. They've said things about me. And I just think, man, that's not Jesus. In this story, we have a picture of Jesus' heart, and Jesus is the one who kneels beside this girl. He's the one who draws this line in the sand. And again, I do believe he's saying to these people, hey, if we're choosing sides, I want to make it very clear, I'm with her. I'm with her. I'm with the broken. I'm with the outcast. Mm. I'm with the lonely. I'm with those that have messed up. I'm with those who have gone too far. I'm with those who feel like there's no hope. Right? Because ultimately, Jesus is the hope. He's the answer. He's the life. He's the healer. I mean, there's so many of these pictures and metaphors and just who he is. I mean, he's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider, right? I mean, he's just all these beautiful things that Jesus offers us when we're willing to admit our need. And so I just love, man, I love meeting people when they're just at that place where like, oh man, I've done all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, I just get this big old smile on my face. And I'm like, oh, you are just in such the perfect place.
Wow.
For God just to move in your life. Like, he's not looking for someone who has it all together. He's not looking for all these things that we look at, right? People say, in God's word, it says we look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And if you're willing to be real with God, he's willing to heal you.
If you're willing to be real with God, he's willing to heal you. We've had Jim Cimbala on a few times before in this book, Storm. He says this, and I want you to comment on it, Nick, because you know, one of the things, if you listen often enough to Live the Promise, you know, one of the things that really grieves my heart is the way we as Christians are treating each other, critiquing each other, debating each other over things that really, can we just agree to disagree if they're secondary issues? Now, I'm not talking about core biblical principles, but I'm talking about stuff that we just slice and dice each other for that really we'd be better off just loving each other and agreeing to disagree. But one thing that Jim Cimbala writes is this: God's message is one of grace and love, and we are his only representatives here on earth. We must devote ourselves to serving others in love if we want to see God's church expand and prosper. In fact, love for others is the unmistakable sign of true spiritual renewal. We Christians, but especially those in leadership, need to examine not only how much we know of the Bible, but how much we love others, because God is love. How often has our teaching about holiness, heaven, or hell, among other subjects, been doctrinally correct, but so loveless it leaves everyone cold? You don't have to be a pastor in the pulpit to lead in love and shine a light in the darkness of life's storms. God can use each of us to do great things through our own situation and talents. All we have to do is say yes to the light and to the love of Jesus. We'd just love for you to comment on that.
You know, that's that story there from Pastor Cimbala, it reminds me of a young guy that we've had the privilege of knowing the last year named Yasser. And Yasser's a young guy who... you know, he has experienced that side of the church that Pastor Jim is referencing there, with all the division and the judgment and the, you know, whatever you want to say, the baggage that comes with faith. And and actually, he was so judged that he rebelled completely as a teenager, got involved in some gangs, got involved in drugs, and all the kind of relationships we think of when we think of that party lifestyle. And ultimately, like, he came to a turning point in his life where he was like, I'm ready to give up. And it was at this moment when he finally started to experience the love of Jesus. He actually came out. Some friends brought him. He came to an event we were doing, which actually he came because we had this girl who was this former rock star singing, and we had Rend Collective there as well. And we were sharing about Reset. And actually, when we gave this message about Reset, he felt like God was just reaching through all that was going on and just grabbing onto him, saying, Yasser, I have a reset for you. I have life for you. I have love for you. I have hope for you. And ultimately, like, for Yasser, it was seeing, man, this is this one mission, this one purpose that God has, right? That love is a person, right? That this invitation of love, that we need to love one another as Christ loved the church, and he laid down his life for us. But ultimately, that God demonstrates his love. Right. And so now we had this beautiful thing where Yasser has experienced this transformation in his life and experienced this reset. And now this kid's just on fire. I mean, he is this 20-year-old kid. He's now led events. I mean, he planned all these events in his community. They had 1,400 people come out at one of these events. And they're just literally, he's like, you need a reset. And he's this kid from, you know, El Salvador background and living out near D.C. area. And it's just one example, again, of a life reset. And I do think that so often what we become defined by is our division.
Mm-hmm.
What we become defined by is what we're against.
Exactly.
Right? And yet that's not what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't about what we're against, right? This is about what Jesus is for. This is about what God is for. This is about hope. It's about life. It's about healing. And there's something that happens when we come together. In fact, that's why every year we do an event on the first Thursday in May. It's the National Day of Prayer, when literally there's more prayer happening in the U.S. than any other day. And we plan an event every first Thursday in May, and we simulcast it all over the nation. We call it Unite. And literally, because it's all about the unity of the body. And so we just do this event, and we literally, now we have over 500 churches that come together. Last year we had 8,000 people there on site. We do it at the University of Minnesota campus, but literally people tune in from around the world. And there's something about when people see brothers and sisters who are following Jesus lifting up their hands saying, this isn't about me. This isn't about you. This isn't about my group. This isn't about my church. This is about the one who came. There's something about that that just transcends any other message and just points to the reality of Jesus. And I think that's why Jesus said in John 17, he said, I pray that they'd be one so that the world might believe. In other words, there's something about our unity that declares to the world that Jesus is real. And that's at the heart of this reset prayer, is that, man, what would it look like? Not if all these ministries and groups changed what they were doing, but what would it look like if all across the nation people started to point their messages slightly in the same direction, that for a season of time there was literally this blanket prayer that there's this reset being offered. I can't turn my head without hearing people talking about this reset. I can't go into a church that people aren't bringing up that there's a reset for me, there's a reset for you. And just this kind of generation-defining moment. Because I believe it's time. I believe that we've tried about everything else. I don't know what else there is to try. It's not about a vent or a solution. The only solution is Him.
Amen.
And Jesus is offering it. Yeah. And just like Jesus changed Yasser, just like Jesus changed you, Susie, just like He's changing me, man, God can change any one of us. Jesus is the reset. He's offering it to each and every one of us. And it's just a matter of crying out to Him.
Might be even worth making the trek into the Twin Cities if you're listening outside the Twin Cities for this National Day of Prayer event, Unite, on University of Minnesota campus. There'll be worship, there'll be prayer. What else can people expect?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a powerful time. Actually, this year we had some friends coming in to be a part of it. Carrie Jobe is going to be there. Francis Chan is going to be there. There's a bunch of pastors and leaders. But ultimately, this is just a night of celebration of the fact that Jesus is real, and it's a celebration with the fact that a reset's for everybody. And man, it's just a time of prayer for one another, and really just kind of a rallying cry. You know, we just want to come together with brothers and sisters all across the nation, around the world, and just lift up Jesus and ultimately be sent out from that place.
Indeed. This has been so great, Nick. We need to have you on more often. I know you're a busy guy, but when you're in town, and we'd love for even to come back and just tell stories of on the road, because it's so important. God is on the move. I mean, we hear a lot of stories of the masses who've exited the faith, but there's a revival happening and a remnant crying out to God, and we have to highlight that too, because that's real, that's powerful, and appreciate all you're doing for the kingdom. And as we wrap up, wondering if you would pray for the listener today who's in desperate need of that reset. Would you pray?
Yeah, let's pray right now. Jesus, we just come to you and with our need, with our baggage, with our past. And we just ask you, Jesus, would you reset us? God, even right now, Lord, would your grace wash over us? Lord, we need your forgiveness. So would you forgive us? Lord, the things we've done, the things we've said, the things we've thought, Lord, even those things that we've left undone, reset us. Jesus, we turn our attention to you, and we just lift you up, Jesus. You are the Son of God, and we want you to lead our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Be praying for our brother Nick, and try to get to the Unite Night on May 1st. Is that right? No, the first Thursday.
May 7th.
May 7th. Wow. Nick, God bless you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Susie.
Well, you've been listening to Hour 1 of Live the Promise. Coming up for Hour 2, Ron Deal talks about how to navigate the step family relationships. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.